This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, our weekly legal issues in the news commentary. Amy Guida looks at the legal perspective of the Mark Foley scandal. We'll also get a weather check as we begin our week. That comes from Mike Sola. First of all, look at today's news. The state fire marshal is investigating a fire that destroyed the public library in Williamsport, Indiana last night. Fire Marshal Roger Johnson says the initial damage estimate is $5 million, but the estimate could go much higher. He says computers, books, and videos inside the library were destroyed. The fire broke out in the library about 9:30 last night in Indiana. Williamsport is the seat of Warren County, about 20 miles southwest of Lafayette. WLFI-TV in Lafayette reported that neighbors said the fire appeared to have begun in the corner of the building and spread quickly until the library was engulfed in flames. No injuries were reported. The 6,000-square-foot library opened in 2002. A committee of Illinois lawmakers meets later today to talk about the future of electric utility rates. As Amanda Vinicky reports, a consumer advocate group is working to drum up support that would hold the line on power bills.
Prior to a House committee taking up the issue, director of the Citizens Utility Board, David Collada, says the consumer watchdog group is encouraging its members to contact elected officials. CUB wants to put pressure on them to support an effort to prevent ComEd and Ameren customers from having to pay more for their electricity come January.
So we've pretty much embarked on the biggest grassroots campaign we've engaged in a long time because, you know, this is a very important issue and we need to get this right.
Collada says he's encouraged that more legislators are favoring CUB's position, and he thinks there's a good shot a measure freezing electric rates will pass the General Assembly. While today's meeting gets that process underway, it's unclear when it will move forward. The Speaker of the Illinois House wants lawmakers to return to Springfield early to vote on it. The President of the State Senate says that's not necessary. The governor said he'll call a special session if there are enough votes to pass a rate freeze. Collada says the sooner the better. But ComEd and Ameren say they may go bankrupt if they can't charge more. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
An official with the Department of Energy says low cost and environmental advantages will increase the demand for coal-burning power plants for several years to come. Jeff Jarrett is the DOE's Assistant Secretary for Fossil Energy. He says the hike in natural gas prices this year served as a wake-up call that it wasn't the best source to produce power in the U.S. Jarrett is among those overseeing the placement of the FutureGen facility. His staff will decide next year whether the zero-emissions fossil fuel plant will locate in Tuscola, Mattoon, or one of two cities in Texas. It would produce electricity and hydrogen from coal while sequestering carbon dioxide emissions. Jarrett says it's not only the cheapest alternative, but develops relationships with countries like China and India that also have rich coal reserves.
So we think it's important that we develop the technology so that we can affordably produce electricity with coal, to transfer that technology through U.S. industries to those countries so that they can continue to grow their economies and take care of the environment while they do it.
A decision on the FutureGen plant's location isn't expected until late next year. Jarrett says this type of technology was in its infancy during his days as a regulator of Pennsylvania's mining industry. Now, though, it's expected to be a mainstay around the world for decades. With only a month until Election Day, experts say Judy Bartopinka faces a big challenge in the race for governor. Opinion polls consistently show her trailing incumbent Democrat Rob Blagojevich by roughly 10 points. Her campaign says that's a strong position for a challenger, especially when polls show Blagojevich is supported by less than half of voters. But others disagree. Pollster Richard Day says Blagojevich's heavy negative advertising has hurt Topinka's image. He doubts she'll be able to change it without a lot of new money for ads. Even Topinka supporters say she needs to sharpen her message. They say it's not enough for her to criticize Blagojevich. Steve Donaldson of the Effingham County Republican Party says Topinka might benefit from emphasizing the positive things she would do for Illinois, such as trying to balance the budget. For years, the number of students learning Latin in school has been declining. Now, as Kavitha Cardoza reports, Illinois educators are getting some help from Hollywood.
There are far fewer students studying Latin than in the past. Some reasons are there aren't enough teachers to hire, school budgets are tight, and the language's reputation as difficult or irrelevant. But when Latin teachers from across the state met at a conference yesterday, they had some good news to share. Anna Dibas teaches Latin at Amos Alonzo Stagg High School. She says recently, because of Hollywood movies such as Gladiator and Troy, the classics have become cool again. Also, students are drawn to studying this language because of the Harry Potter books.
All the spells are pretty much in Latin. And J.K. Rowling took Latin, and she has not been quiet about that fact. Most of the names, for example, like, you know, Draco Malfoy. Well, Draco means dragon in Latin, and Malfoy is a doer of bad deeds. And Albus Dumbledore. Albus means white, and of course he has this white beard. And so many things that if you know the Latin, it just brings it alive.
Dibas says Latin is especially popular among students with speech difficulties because it's the written rather than the spoken word that's emphasized. I'm Kavita Cardoza.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Former Congressman Mark Foley resigned from Congress over allegations that he had sent teenage pages messages ranging from somewhat inappropriate to downright unacceptable. Commentator Amy Guida thought she'd take a look at what Foley said on the House floor over the years and how that meshes in with what he's accused of. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
Law inevitably requires interpretation. That's one reason lawyers often turn to something called legislative history. Legislative history is just words. It's floor statements and other materials published in the Congressional Record, and it leaves a trail for those who later wonder what a bill's sponsor meant by certain language or why Congress omitted something. A judge can turn to legislative history and find out what happened. Legislative history also serves as a come-back-to-haunt trail when a legislator falls from grace. As I write this, former Congressman Mark Foley stands accused of sending suggestive emails and highly sexualized text messages to young men who'd served as pages or legislative helpers in the United States Capitol building. I say young men because the law provides that pages must be at least 16 years old and have completed 10th grade, but not yet started 12th. They sleep, go to school, work, and eat on Capitol Hill. The text messages, as published by ABC, are particularly graphic. The person who uses the identifier MAF54 uses words like stud and phrases like great legs as among the least offending. And yet, before he resigned, Foley's congressional website, another trail of words, reported that he had a commitment to youth as the co-chair of the Missing and Exploited Children's Caucus. His language on the House floor is often both sentimental and strident. Childhood is the time of life that should be treasured and protected, he said in 1999, suggesting that child abuse be attacked at every opportunity. On the floor, he often credited bills with protecting the nation's children, including one he sponsored about child modeling on the Internet. But this floor statement, perhaps, is the most interesting in retrospect. We should warn our children not to be engaged in conversations with adults on the Internet, he said in September of 2002. And pity the congressman who told the House chamber that Mark Foley and he were working together on a bill to protect children from the business of sex and pornography, or the one who noted that Foley had spent a lot of time with pages and so wished to thank them formally. Foley's words of thanks are also part of the congressional record. In 2002, the congressman suggested that he was near tears as he bid the pages farewell. He revealed that he'd almost sent a graduation present to a male page, but then thought better of it, knowing that all pages would then expect a gift. He remembered that he'd taken a male page to lunch at a fancy Washington steakhouse in his BMW as a part of the page's auction bid. 2 years later, Foley suggested that the pages had received a long exposure to the good and bad Congress has to offer, and ask the pages to stay in touch. He stayed in touch, we now believe, with at least two pages at various points in his congressional career, one by email and one by text message. So former Congressman Foley was, it seems, taken down by a trail of words, his legacy cemented not by those captured in the congressional record, but by words captured in cyberspace. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. be nice and almost summer-like again today after a glorious weekend, but we do see a downward trend as far as temperatures go, according to our weather forecaster, Mike Sola. The forecast for the two-state area today, in northern and west-central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy, elsewhere mostly sunny early, then becoming partly sunny, and highs ranging from 60 in northwest Illinois to near 80 degrees in southeastern Indiana. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of a few scattered showers or drizzle in northern and western Illinois, ranging lows from 42 degrees in northern Indiana to 55 in far southern Indiana. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers and perhaps a few thunderstorms will increase from west to east during the afternoon, and highs tomorrow ranging from 58 in northern Illinois to 78 in southern Illinois. Look for mostly cloudy skies on Wednesday with scattered showers, and then mostly cloudy on Thursday with areas of drizzle or even flurries in the north and in central Illinois, with Thursday's highs only ranging from the low 40s in northwest Illinois to mid-50s in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, October 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.